at the Shlosha Sfarim Niftachim, and this of course is based on a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. First let's learn the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, and that you'll see on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, and then we'll take a look at the statement in the Gemara. And the Mishnah says Bi'arba Prakim Ha'olam Nidon. So there are four Rosh Hashanah, so to speak, there's 4 days of judgment during the course of the Hebrew calendar year. And the one that's of course most interesting to us is B'Rosh Hashanah Kol Bay Olam Ovrim Lefanov Kivnei Morom. Every human being that was created on this world passes in front of him like B'nei Morom. The Gemara is going to have 3 different opinions as to what B'nei Morom really means, but whatever it means, it's something kind of serious or frightening. And now, to understand this mission a little bit on a deeper level, we take a look at the Braisa of Rabbi Yishmael, which the Gemara quotes here, Tana to Bei Rabbi Yishmael, Adam Nidon B'Rosh Hashanah V'Ugzar Din Shalo Nechtam B'Yom HaKippurim. So something that, I guess, a process of judgment that begins on Rosh Hashanah will culminate with the chasima, the final seal, on Yom Kippur. So it's a 10-day period of time. So we're trying to figure out, this is the goal for our limud today, what exactly is the nature of the judgment that takes place on Rosh Hashanah. So we're going to look at the Chazal. Chazal say, Shlosha Sfarim Niftachim V'Rosh Hashanah. So there are 3 different books that are open in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the day of judgment, on the day of Rosh Hashanah. Echad shel Rishayim Gmurim, v'echad shel Tzadikim Gmurim, v'echad shel Beinonim. And the most fundamental issue here is, as we said before, what exactly is going on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara, again, quotes a memory here of Rabbi Shmuel that we saw, but that only tells us that whatever happens on Rosh Hashanah is sealed on Yom Kippur. But exactly what is going on at this early stage in judgment, the first kickoff of judgment on Rosh Hashanah, the final sealing, the sealing of which is going to be on Yom Kippur, what exactly are we being judged? We know that there are 3 Sfarim. Now, with regard to the Sefer of Tzadikim Gemurim, the Gemara establishes Nechtamim V'Nechtamim Li'alter L'Chaim. It sounds like on Rosh Hashanah there's no need to wait for Yom Kippur, there's no delay process, but rather on Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, as far as Tzadikim Gemurim is concerned, they skip all the steps. They're not only judged on Rosh Hashanah and written down in the Sifrei Chaim, but they're also sealed on Rosh Hashanah. So right. The Tzadikim...
Are they also notified of the sealing?
Correct. That I'm not sure. But whatever it is that there's no need to wait for Yom Kippur in that case. And Li'alter, immediately they are written and signed and sealed L'Chaim. On the other extreme, we have the Rishayim Gemurim. They too don't need Yom Kippur because they're nichtamim li'alter l'misa immediately. So what we said before, that the beginning of the judgment is the kickoff of the judgment is on Rosh Hashanah, and the clincher, the termination is on Yom Kippur. That's only relevant to one of these 3 Sfarim, and that's to the Beinonim. So the Beinonim are written down in this Sefer of Beinonim, and they are, in the Gemara's language, tluyim v'omdim mirosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippurim. Their status is up in the air, as we would say. And, you know, there are a lot of different interpretations of what that means. It's very famous that the Beinonim are tluyim v'omdim. I remember on one occasion I heard from my father in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that he gave the vision, the picture, a very frightening picture of a person who doesn't have enough schuyot to be written in the Sifrei Chaim and the Sifrei Tzadikim. So what they do is, at this point, they tie a noose around his neck. And he's standing on a chair. and he's totally v'omid, meaning if he doesn't do any mitzvahs, if he can't tip the scale in favor of his merits, then they're going to kick away the chair, chas v'shalom, and he's going to die. He's totally v'omid. He's literally hanging in the air. And therefore, during the days of tshuva, he's got to do tshuva. If he does tshuva, you know, he can tip the scale in favor of his merits, and then he can be written in the Sifrei Chaim. So the Gemara's language is that the Beinanim Atluyim V'Omdim B'Rosh Hashanah V'Ad Yom HaKippurim Zachu, if they increase their merits, Nichtavim L'Chaim, Lo Zachu, Nichtavim L'Misa. Now, if you turn to page 4 for a second of Yomar Makomos, the Meiri on the bottom left tries to elaborate a little on this, and he says that Afal Pisha B'chol Yom V'Yom Roy Li Adam L'Fashpesh B'Masov Loshuv Midarko Hara. This is a chiyuv that applies the entire year, but nevertheless he says that Bizman Hazeh, during these days of tshuva, Ratzalom Mi Rosh Hashanah, from Rosh Hashanah and on, Roy Lo L'Sorir B'Yoser, he should really awaken himself in a very profound way, not like the rest of the year, where it's, you know, it's okay and it's definitely recommended, because, and he quotes our Gemara here in Rosh Hashanah, that Shlosh Sfarim Niftachim, and amongst the three books that are open on Rosh Hashanah, one of them is the Beinanim, and in terms of the Beinani, he's got to do tshuva. I mean, if he's not, he's going to lose his rights to live. Is kol echav echad nidon lefi masav, but yisorer lefashbeish b'masav lachzor mimenu. Why? Because if he's misrashil, if he doesn't do so, if he doesn't improve his ways, minat tshuva through tshuva, is ein lo chelik v'elokei Yisrael. As far as the year to come, he will not be judged as part of the Jewish, you know, to be alive and well for the Jewish community. And therefore, the Meiri says that although the whole year round there's a mitzvah of tshuva, there's a very specific and unique obligation of tshuva during this period of time, because the Sifrei Beinanim, these are the people who are tluy v'omdim, and zachu nechtamim l'chaim. So that's a pretty awesome kind of situation for us, and a very profound obligation of tshuva. But now we get to the main question for today. What exactly is the nature of the judgment of Rosh Hashanah? Is it a judgment for Olam Hazeh, for this physical world, or is it a judgment for Olam Haba? And if you take a look at the sugya in Rosh Hashanah that we started with, the Gemara says that Liyasid Lavo, that at the end of our lives, or shall we say perhaps Liyasid Lavo means at the end of time, is B'yom HaDin HaGadol, there'll be a great day of judgment. He calls it Gadol V'Nora, and that's going to coincide with the moment of Tchias HaMesim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yichadesh Es HaOlam Haba. And V'yodin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sabrios. Every single creature will be judged. And it's Tzadikim Yichasmu V'yichasmu Li'alta L'chai Olam. L'chai Olam means for Olam Haba. Rishon Gvur V'yichasmu V'yichasmu L'alta L'gehenam. Just the opposite of Olam Haba. And it's interesting that Tosfos, Divya Maskel Yom, Tosfos points out that a person is judged not only at before he dies, at the time of his death, but he's also judged on the Yom HaDin HaGadol, which takes place right before Tchias HaMesim and before Olam Haba. And here's where the Ritva adds something important. And the Ritva says, and this you'll see on page 4, that Gimel Dinim Huzku Ba'adam, there are three major crossroads of judgment in a person's life. One is Rosh Hashanah, that's on an annual basis. The other is on the Yom HaDin HaGadol, which the Gemara refers to at the time of Tchias HaMesim. And the Gimel, the third major crossroads, is the Yom Misaso Shel Adam, on the day of his death. And then the Ritva adds, V'ein Safek, She Gimel Dinim Elu Kol Echad Cholok Li Atzmo. Each day of judgment, is separate, is independent unto itself, and we won't find in the sugya itself the discussion about the judgment on Yom HaMisa. L'fisha osa adin eino kloli. All the Gemara is interested is the day of judgment for the entire universe, not for individuals. And therefore, the time before Trias HaMesim is singled out, that's when the entire community is going to be judged as a tzibur. Or Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment for the entire tzibur. But the Yom HaMisa, that's not going to be mentioned, because that is kol echad v'echad nidon bizmano. That's not a set time. So we're looking for a time that's set, and the time is set for judgment for the entire tzibur, but not for the individual. But again, we are, each one of us is part of the tzibur. So insofar as the community is judged every Rosh Hashanah, every individual as part of that community is judged on Rosh Hashanah. And the same is true for the time of Trias HaMesim. Every individual will be part of the klal and will be judged as an individual. Obviously, we have to address the question, why is there a need for three different days of judgment? In the case of Trias HaMesim, it's logical to assume that the Gemara deliberately emphasizes Chaye Olam and Gehenim, right? The Tzaddikim are signed and sealed for Chaye Olam, because Chaye Olam is a reference to Olam Abba. So it makes sense that at the time of Trias HaMesim, which according to the Rambam Shita at least, is really the transition from Olam Hazeh to Olam Abba, the Ramban is a little different, but that is the moment in which we are judged for Chaye Olam, for Olam Abba. That's as far as Trias HaMesim is concerned. It also makes sense that on the Yom HaMisa of every individual, there's a judgment for Chaye Olam, for Olam Abba. However, in the case of Rosh Hashanah, that's not clear at all. And here, if you take a look at the Ramban on the second page, in his famous drasha for Rosh Hashanah, which he gave somewhere in the north, I think in the city of Akko, when he was here in Eretz Yisrael. And again, there's a lot of points in the Ramban to go through. I just want to first, highlight the punchline of this Ramban for our purposes. And the Ramban is of the opinion that when you talk about Rosh Hashanah, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is for Olam Hazeh. And he points out that if you look throughout our tefillos on Rosh Hashanah that were established by Chazal, it's all about the upcoming year. It's not about Olam Abba, which is the eternal repose. It's about the next 365 days.
354, right?
Right. And now we have to look at Tosfos. Tosfos disagrees with the Ramban. And Tosfos is of the opinion, and this is Divra Maskil Nechtamim.
Back on the first page.
Tosfos of the opinion that the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is for Olam Abba. It's for the next world. Which seems to indicate that according to Tosfos, we have three different days in which we are judged for Olam Abba. When I say days, I mean, of course, Rosh Hashanah is more than one day, but I'm just saying three different time periods in which we're judged for Olam Abba. The Ramban, again, is going to counter-argue, no, that the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is strictly Olam Hazeh, and all of that philos in which we ask for a great year to come, and that the rains should be ample, and the produce should grow, that's all in Yonei Olam Hazeh. But Tosfos, on the other hand, has a very strong argument, because the Brisa says there are tzaddikim and there are rishayim. Now, when you talk about tzaddikim and you talk about rishayim, you're talking about spiritual or religious categories of piety or chas v'shalom, the lack thereof, which define the essence of man. And if somebody has more zchuyos than the opposite, then he's called a tzaddik. If someone has more avonos than zchuyos, he's called a rasha. And a simple understanding of this judgment of averos and Schuyos. I mean, why is a person being judged for averus and schuyos if not to determine his position in Olam Haba? But again, it's difficult on Tosfos. You know, how can we write about the tzaddikim and nechtamim v'Rosh Hashanah li'alter l'chaim tovim with regard to Olam Hazeh? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. If you're talking about Olam Hazeh, then the tzaddikim, you know, the tzaddikim, we know that tzaddikim will suffer during the course of their lives. So to say that, as the Ramban would have it, that because a person is a tzaddik, therefore he's written down in the good books, I mean, that's not really so. We know that tzaddikim, you know, chas v'shalom, will die, and possibly even in the year to come, or they'll suffer. Well, where's this business of tzaddikim nechtamim li'alter l'chaim? That can only be a reference to Olam Haba. And there are times where tzaddikim will actually be signed and sealed for death. Rishayim will be sealed for life. So what does it mean that when the Gemara says that tzaddikim are nechtamim l'chaim and the Rishayim l'misa? That's not true. The only way of justifying that is by claiming that the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is a judgment for Inyanei Olam Haba. Notwithstanding the question that we asked before, why do we need so many different occasions for that judgment? But, you know, to explain Tosfos is mind-boggling. It's such a difficult Tosfos here, because what do you mean that on Rosh Hashanah we decided that tzaddikim are written for Olam Haba? How can you know that the tzaddikim will remain tzaddikim throughout the balance of their lives? You know, you're talking about a person who's 13 years old, he just became bar mitzvah, and he's judged as a tzaddik. And what does that mean? According to Tosfos, he's going to go to Olam Haba, he's got another 100 years to live. What's going to happen during the balance of his life for 100 years? Is he going to remain a tzaddik? He has bechira chofshis.
Right. It's reminding me of the Pirkei Avos that says, don't trust yourself until the day of your death.
Correct. Al-Kamen Atzbucha Ad Yom Moscha. So if he's a tzaddik today, what does that mean about tomorrow? And the whole idea that 100 years before his death he should be already signed and sealed for Olam Haba. I mean, Olam Haba is only relevant after he dies. So in other words, the Ramban here on pages 2 and 3, again, you know, if we have time, we'll go through some of the texts of the Ramban. The Ramban, in addition to his famous drasha for Rosh Hashanah, wrote a treatise called Sharag Mul about reward and punishment, and there too he contends against Tosfos. And how could it be that when we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, we're talking about Olam Haba, then it just doesn't make any sense? You know, there's an annual judgment for what's going to happen during the course of the upcoming year. And here, the Ramban quotes Rav Chosvedal. I'm not sure who he was, but I think he was from the period of the Gaonim. And he offers another approach to understand what it means, tzaddikim and rishayim. The tzaddik and a rasha, we're not talking about their ultimate classification, because again, there may be 100 years down the line until we could get to the point where we could give them an absolute and ultimate irreversible classification. What tzaddik v'rasha means is, says the Ramban, the totsah b'dino, what's going to happen as a result of his judgment. The din of Rosh Hashanah is on Olam Hazeh, says the Ramban, but the mid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of mishpat, of judgment, is to meet out any punishment for tzaddikim to make sure they have a clear, you know, clean slate when they come at the end of their lives to be judged for Olam Haba. So there's going to be a long period of time now. We gave the extreme dramatic example of 100 years. During that 100 year period, there are going to be difficult decrees on the tzaddik, but only for the benefit of the tzaddik, in order that these evil experiences should this punishment that's being met should cleanse the tzaddik and purify him, so that, you know, the Olam Hazeh is a period of time in which, you know, we square off all the cheshbonos, all the calculations, but ultimately we get to the point where the tzaddik is a tzaddik gamur, and there's no reason to punish him, and when he dies, straight to Olam Haba. But if you talk about the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, you know, that's not going to necessarily be the judgment of a good year to come. Again, it's a good year, but from the divine perspective, but it's not going to be physically a good year necessarily. The tzaddikim suffer. I mean, the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Yochanan that he buried 10 sons. I mean, it's unbelievable. And we can go on and on and on with all the stories about the various Tanoim and Amoroim and how much they suffered, but we believe that that suffering is a kind of puranios, lipara ba'olam hazeh, to pay up your debts in this world on all your sins, no matter how subtle and how small they may be. So the ultimate gmul, the ultimate reward of kol tuv, of absolute goodness, will be bestowed upon the tzaddik after his death in Olam Haba. The Rishayim on the other hand might be signed and sealed on Rosh Hashanah for a very good year. Let's pay off whatever few mice and tovim they had in this world, and then we're ready to punish them in Olam Haba. So the words tzaddik and rasha here, according to the Ramban, mean bedino. Bedino, he's a tzaddik and a rasha. And let's read the Ramban's language here when he says, "Sheyia gadol shebenevim nidon al chet echad kal v'nenesh alav." You can be the greatest of all neviim, but for one sin, you will be decree. You will have a decree of some sort of a punishment. And therefore, within the context of this judgment, you could call him a Rasha. Then you could have a judgment for someone who's like Achav, who's an absolute Rasha, and he could be judged as a Tzaddik, meaning that we'll pay him off for his good deeds in the year to come. You know, let's clear up the record. And then he's a Rasha in the ultimate sense. So, for the present judgment, Bidino, we'll call him a Tzaddik, even though he's really essentially a Rasha, because we're going to give him credit for those actions and merits that he did. In the case of a tzaddik, he's ultimately a tzaddik, essentially a tzaddik, but he's going to get the din of a rasha because we're going to square off and punish him for whatever little subtle sins that he had.
And then we equal it out in Olam Haba, is the idea.
Correct, so that in Olam Haba he comes with an absolute clean slate, this tzaddik. So Tosus understood that the words Tzaddikim and Rishayim were referring to the ultimate classification. He's a tzaddik at the end of his life. And therefore we're judging him on Rosh Hashanah for Olam Haba. So Tosis, because he understood that Tzaddikim and Rishayim are ultimate classifications, absolute classifications, he Tosis had no choice but to assume that the judgment of Rosh Hashanah was Olam Haba. On the other hand, this is so difficult to swallow, this pill. How could it be that on an annual basis, from the beginning of one's life till the end, he's being judged on Olam Haba? Olam Haba is something that's going to be determined at the end of one's life after he's faced all the challenges, and then Hashem will judge him and see the balance sheet and decide what his position for Olam Haba will be. But to say that on an annual basis, every Rosh Hashanah, no matter how old the person is, he'll be judged for Olam Haba, notwithstanding all that philos of Rosh Hashanah, which were established by Chazal, and all of them deal with Olam Hazeh, there's not a word in our philos about Olam Haba. And the Rashba, which you'll see on page 4, all the good Rishonim are here on page 4, on the top left, the Rashba raises the following objection to Shita Satosvis. Why would we judge a person on Rosh Hashanah while he's alive and well on Olam Haba? He says, "Hare yachol berega kal lashu v'tshuva." Fascinating line of the Rashba. In one fell swoop, in one split second, a person can do tshuva. So you're telling me you're going to judge a person as a Rasha vis-a-vis Olam Haba on this Rosh Hashanah, let's say this Rosh Hashanah, Tavshin, Ayin, what are we up to? Ayin, Zayin, right? So we're going to say, well, this guy's a Rasha. No Olam Haba for him. What do you mean? He's got the opportunity to do tshuva. What, are you robbing him of that opportunity? So how can you say that early in his life, when he's got a whole life ahead of him to do tshuva, he's already judged for Gehenna? What about the fact that Yochel Berega Kal Loshuv Betshuva? So what is the meaning of din of this judgment of Rosh Hashanah according to Tosfos? And again, as we said before, we don't understand all the Lashonos of the Tefillah that we recite on Rosh Hashanah. They're all about Olam Hazeh. So here on page 6, we have a Chiddush in order to defend and present the sheet of Tosfos in some coherent way. In a sefer called the Tshuvas Hashanah, which was authored by Rav Yosef Rappaport, who's the head of one of the important kolels in Bnei Brak, and in this sefer he tries to analyze the Moedim. Excuse me, I have a sneeze coming. Okay, let's see this thesis of the Tshuvas Hashanah. Again, there are many different parts to his thesis. I'm going to just try to pull out a part which he bases to a large extent on the Tosa Rosh, which of course is on page 4. And he says the following. He says, Kasher danim v'rosh Hashanah l'inyonei olam haba, l'nidon zeh yesh hashlocha l'inyonei ha'olam hazeh. Meaning, that even though Tosus insists that the subject of the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is the next world, nevertheless, it has an impact on this world. Because, basing himself on the Tosa Rosh, who says at the beginning of his presentation, that the din of Rosh Hashanah al inyone olam haba, that's his opening line, which is really Tosus. So Tosa Rosh at this point is identical to Tosus. But then he writes, Dima'oros shelo ugzerosov shelshona zu tluyim ba. Meaning, everything that's going to happen in the year to come, and all the divine decrees for that year, are all dependent upon the judgment of Olam Haba. Shegozrim al tzadik zeros kashos b'olam hazeh, lipara mimenu avanosav. I mean, there's a whole new understanding of Shitas HaTosfos, and basically, if a person is judged as a full-fledged tzaddik for Olam Haba, that's going to have an impact on the gzeros of this world of Olam Hazeh for the year to come. Do you follow? Because ultimately, his place in Olam Haba at the end of his life, which will be determined and set in stone at the end of his life, depends upon what punishments he will suffer during the balance of his life in Olam Hazeh. So that, let's say that there are, 10 levels of Olam Haba, right? There's the Olam Haba Mamish, the highest level. So for such a person who's going to get Olam Haba for the highest level, we've got to pay up any chovos, any obligations he has during his lifetime, so that he can come with an absolute clean slate and get pure Olam Haba, the highest ideal level. And that's going to influence what's going to be written down for him in the year to come. In other words, according to Tosa Rosh, Tosas is not denying that all that philos are focused on this world, Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh, but that's because the judgment of Olam Hazeh is a spin-off, is impacted, or it's a result of our judgment vis-a-vis Olam Haba. And in the case of a Rosha, he's going to have a very good year coming up of Gzeres Tovos, so that when it comes to Olam Haba, he will have nothing. He'll be completely rooted out, because what schar does he have for Olam Haba? Sometimes you have a Rasha, but you know what? He has a couple of good virtuous merits that could allow him at least, the lowest level of Olam Haba. But in the case of a Rasha, since he's going to be written down for Gehenom, not for Olam Haba, what we're going to have to do is give him a great year. He's going to be very successful, and all that is going to be a payment for him so that we block him completely from letting even a toenail into Olam Haba. The pasuk says that God pays off, meaning rewards, son of his enemies, Lahavido, for the purpose of ultimately destroying them. The ultimate destruction means that they will be completely closed out of Olam Haba. Hilkach, therefore, Tzorach la'alosom b'kaf maznayim b'chol shana. On every year, the Boy Olam are being put on this scale. And although the scale here is going to be relevant to the decrees for the world for the year to come, for sure, but all that is a reflection of the ultimate determinant, the ultimate status of the person as either a tzaddik or a rasha for Olam Haba. And if you take a look at the Ramban on page 3 in Shara Gmul, when he talks about, you know, he tries to inquire and clarify the derech of Hanhogas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mishpato, he writes, Liparmi Atzadiki Bolam Azeh Al Chatoehem Kidei L'shalim Lemes Gmul Amato B'Olam Haba. The Ilu Arishoyim, says the Ramban, Zochim L'schar Al Maaseim Atov B'Olam Azeh Kidei Liparmihem B'Olam Haba. Oh boy, in the light of that, we have a whole new presentation and understanding of Shitas HaTosfos. The judgment of a person on Rosh Hashanah for Olam Haba, according to Tosfos, is going to have a direct, immediate impact on what's going to befall this person in the year to come, right here in Olam Hazeh. And the way that the Tshuvas Hashanah presents it, he says, B'tchila, at the very beginning, Donin Al Klolus Maisei Adam. In other words, the original initial state of judgment is on the mensch, on the person. Klolus Maisei Adam. You know, we're not even getting into the details and the nuances of every single action that he implemented. We're just talking about where the person is holding. Klolus Maisei Adam. And that's going to determine his Chayei Olam Haba. But now, as we said before, the Mishpatei Hashem, the judgment of God, and the chasima of that judgment, in, for example, in the case, let's take the case of a Rasha, he's Rov Avonos, he doesn't deserve Olam Haba, but yet we have to pay him up for the Miut Zachios. So now we're going to get into the details of every action, every good deed, and every negative criminal act that he performed and implemented during the course of the year. And now we're going to see what is going to befall him in the year to come, Ba'olam Hazeh. So again, first we start with a general assessment of the person to judge him vis-a-vis Olam Haba. And then, in the second stage, we get down to the nitty-gritty details of individual actions and where we have to pay him up here, and where he has to be paid up either as a reward in the case of a Rasha, or as a punishment in the case of a Tzaddik. And this really is a fundamental response to the question of theodicy, of Tzaddik v'ralo v'Rasha l'tovlo, that we have to understand that it looks like, you know, the onlooker, the spectator thinks that the Tzaddik is suffering, and for no reason, the Rasha is having a blast, and that's not justified. Where's the justice in this world? That's the famous question of Tzadik V'Ralo Rosh V'Tovlo. That's what Eov asked. But the answer is that the Tzadik V'Ralo is really V'Tovlo, because this is going to give him a perfect slate for Olam Haba, because he's been already paid up and punished for any iniquities or failures or deficiencies in Olam Hazeh. And the opposite is true for the Rasha. In the case of a Rasha, it's Meshalim L'sonov Alponov La'vido. We're going to pay up the Rasha for his schar, his reward that he deserves. And then, although he's being paid up in Olam Hazeh, it's going to boomerang against him in Olam Haba, because it's going to be Meshalim L'sonov Alponov in Olam Hazeh Kidei La'vido Me'Olam Haba. He'll have no place in Olam Haba.
Why is it so, this is the question that's, I guess, for bothering me. Why is it so important to have a clean slate in Olam Haba?
I guess because You want to get the ultimate of Olam Haba, right?
Right.
Like, for example, the Gemara says that certain people in Olam Haba will go up to what's called the Masifta Derekia, where they get close to the seven Zvul, and they're able to hear the Shir on high. There are other people in Olam Haba who are sort of on a different kind of plane. They won't get entry into the higher realms of the Masifta Derekia. The Gemara tells us about the Amoral Levi, that Levi was not led into the Masifta Derekia in Olam Haba after his death. And Shmuel, who was a contemporary, but he was still alive, found out about this. Do you remember that Gemara? It's at the
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's at the beginning of Brachos. And the Gemara says that Shmuel came to see his father, Abba Shmuel, Avud Shmuel, in the cemetery. And they told him that you can't meet with your father because he's already up in the Masifta Derekia. So Shmuel says, I got to meet with him because he was in charge of the funds of the Yisomim, and he didn't leave any message, because Shmuel wasn't there when his father died, as to where he hid these monies. And people are saying, well, who's this guy Shmuel? He's eating up the funds of the Yisomim. And when they told him that, that Shmuel... That they couldn't see his father because he's up in the Masifta Derekia. So Shmuel immediately said, send him a message. And I'm waiting for him. I got to find out. In the meantime, he sees Levi amongst the group. And he says to Levi, what are you doing here? You should be up with my father in the Masifta Derekia. So Levi says that there was a certain gadol who was giving shiurim. And I didn't attend those shiurim. And as a result, this gadol had chalisha sadas, and he suffered tremendously. And they won't let me up to the Masifta Derekia until Shmuel prayed on his behalf, and so forth and so on. But you see two things from this gemara. Number one, you better go to the shir of the rabbi, because otherwise they'll be insulted. And number two, you see that there are different levels up there in Olam Haba. And if you have a guilty, package on your shoulder, your guilt because you caused someone pain and suffering, then, you're going to be left on the bottom dregs of Olam Haba. You'll go into Olam Haba, but so there are different levels. So let's clean out all the deficiencies.
The idea is that you're stuck at that state.
Correct. So somehow doing the balance of your life, that's the only...
You'd rather, when you get to the end, you'd rather be at the state that you're stuck at a good place.
Correct, because Olam Haba is that much, infinitesimally more important than Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba is eternity. So again, the Ikar judgment on Rosh Hashanah is going to be Olam Hazeh, both according to the Ramban for sure, and even according to Tosfos, just that what's going to be Machria, what's going to determine his judgment in Olam Hazeh for the year to come, it's the Tzuras Olam Haba. So the Tzuras Olam Hazeh is determined by his status as a Gavra, as an individual, vis-a-vis Olam Haba. So now, this article, this essay in Tshuva, L'Tshuvas Hashanah, starts on page 6, and then it continues on to page 7. And everything that we've said is a summary of his understanding of Shitas HaTosfos, based on Tosa Rush, and it comes very close to the Ramban. On page 7, he addresses the following question. Is there a difference between the Ramban and Tosfos? As we say in Gemara language, Mainafgamina, they're basically both saying the same thing, and yet the Ramban is punching Tosfos, and this like this lively debate and controversy, but Mainafgamina, they're both really saying one and the same thing. So on page 7, L'Tshuvas Hashanah, he explains that according to the Ramban, even though the din of Rosh Hashanah is for Olam Hazeh, nevertheless, it's also relevant to Olam Haba, but it's different than Tosfos. According to the Ramban, the din of Rosh Hashanah is only biofen klali al chai Olam Haba. In other words, we're just going to determine, is this person going to Olam Haba or is he not? That's the only question. We're not going to go into detail about where in Olam Haba or how much of Olam Haba he's going to enjoy. We'll just decide if he's an Olam Haba man, and that's all. As soon as we make that decision, then he'll be judged based on his being set for Olam Haba. You know, he's got the entry card, you know, the Kartis Knisa to Olam Haba. Based on that card, now we're going to judge Olam Hazeh. Tosis, on the other hand, and I'm hoping, you know, with this we'll see clearly where we're going with this, he says that the Div is on Olam Haba B'Pratus, not B'Derek Klol. It's as if Rosh Hashanah is the moment of a person's death. And the determination here is exactly how much, and you know, both qualitatively and quantitatively, Olam Haba is going to get. And then we're going to determine his entire lifetime in Olam Hazeh. In other words, according to the Ramban, the main focus of the judgment is Olam Hazeh for the next 364 days, as you say. Correct? That's the main focus. As an introduction to shadow or to determine that judgment, we need to know where he belongs. Is he with the good guys, you know, or with the bad guys? You know, you remember spy versus spy. You know, is he wearing the white clothing or the black clothing? And if he's an Olam Haba guy, that will have an influence on his judgment for the year to come. But we're only judging him for the year to come. And this is something that's going to happen annually. Tosfos is going much further than that. We are determining on Rosh Hashanah his Olam Haba B'Pratos. Not just is he an Olam Haba guy, you know, is he a good guy. We're going to go into great detail about the quality and the quantity of his Olam Haba. And then we're going to be Koveya Kol Chayav B'Olam Hazeh. Not just for the year to come, but Kol Chayav. And the reason why this is such an important principle is because we have to answer the question of the Rashba, the objection of the Rashba that we spoke about on page 4. Why do we judge a person on Rosh Hashanah, asks the Rashba, for the ultimate Olam Haba? He's got the balance of his life to do tshuva and to determine Olam Haba now, prematurely, makes no sense. Yochel v'rega kal, lashu v'tshuva. So what's the meaning of this din? And the answer is that on the din of Pratei Chayei Olam Haba, right, if you're talking about the details of Olam Haba, then Eino Chinami Hakol Holeich Achashas Sof Yomo, the end of his days. But if you're talking about the klolus, that's the Ramban Shita, okay, the klolus we can determine now, and hopefully he'll do better and better and better as he goes through his life and he'll do tshuva. And he writes here, Yesh nafkemina b'mashenechta b'Rosh Hashanah l'chai Olam Haba, o chalila, or heaven forbid, for the opposite, kefi amit asef, hamistayif mizeh ledino b'olam hazeh, umikol makom pshita, sheyochol lachzor b'tshuva shol lifnei mosav, yishtane dino b'chai Olam Haba. Tosfos is not going to deny the premise of the Rashba's kasha, that he has the whole balance of his life to do tshuva, for sure. But on Rosh Hashanah, we're going to determine his Olam Haba in detail. And why? Because that's going to have a tremendous impact on his judgment for Olam Hazeh, for the balance of his life. It doesn't mean that somewhere down the line, before he leaves this world, he's denied or robbed the opportunity to do tshuva. He certainly has the ability to do tshuva, and that will determine his Chayei Olam Haba. But right now, in order to determine the life that he will live from Rosh Hashanah until the day of his death, we need an absolute, detailed determination and judgment as far as his place in Olam Haba. By the way, before we continue, I just want to apologize. When I read the Gemara on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, I read the memory of Rabbi Yochanan Shlosh Sfarim Niftachim Rosh Hashanah. I forgot to read the words before that. Omar Av Kros Bedoy. So I mistakenly said that it was the Ramban who was quoting Rav Kras Bedoy. Really, it's Rav Kras Bedoy who's quoting Rav Yochanan in the Gemara itself. Again, just to review the language here of the Tshuva Hashana, he writes Beshitas Hatosvis Hadiyun Al Chay Olam Abok Shala Atzmo. If you want to really determine what exactly will be, you know, his Chelik in Olam Abba, that's Hakol Holi Chachar Shas. Sovyom of it, the moment of his death. However, as far as Rosh Hashanah is concerned, the diun, the judgment, is on Chai Olam Abba, B'chol Rosh Hashanah, Kol B'tocho B'echrek Gam Nidon Al Inyonei Olam Azeh. And that judgment will be determined on Rosh Hashanah as he is on Rosh Hashanah. And when it says Tzadikim Gemur Nechtovim L'chayim, Rishon Gemur Nechtovim L'misa, Pirusho, Shenechtav Hagzardin, or Nechtam Hagzardin Al Olam Abba, Klapeh Amistayif Mimenu Binyonei Olam Azeh. It's not the ultimate judgment of Olam Abba, exactly where and what Olam Abba, what quality and quantity you'll get, that's going to be determined Shas Misa, but it's the Olam Abba as it relates to, as it impacts upon Olam Azeh. Meaning, a specific, detailed judgment of the person for Olam Abba, that's the Shita Satosu, it's not just Klolius, but Pratius, and that's going to determine Olam Azeh. As far as the ultimate determination of Olam Abba, that's going to take place at the time of death. Now it could be that if we're talking about Tosfos and the Ramban, we might add an additional nafkemina. Why should a person be judged on Rosh Hashanah for Olam Abba? I mean, why not just judge him for Olam Azeh, and that should be enough? And perhaps we could say the following, that when there's a psak din, when the heavenly courts issue a verdict about a person that he's a ben olam abba, that's going to have an impact on the entire tzuras sachaim, his whole way of life during the balance of his lifetime. And therefore it's very important to make that determination, that judgment, if he is a ben olam abba. And the one who develops this idea is Rav Aaron Kotler, who is the Rashiv, as you know, and the founding father of Lakewood. And he wrote a sefer called Mishnas Rabbi Aaron, Rav Aaron Kotler, and in that sefer, many volumes in that series are on Halacha and the Rambam and so forth, but this particular volume is on Hashkafa, and he has an essay called Shlosha Sfarim. And according to Rav Aaron Kotler, when a person is judged on Rosh Hashanah as a Ben Olam Abba, he has a totally different stature or status already in Olam Azeh. And this is relevant to every Hanhaga, she is now Gu Ima Min Hashamayim. Any relationship between the heavens and this individual is going to be determined by that judgment of he is a Ben Olam Abba. In other words, even those who merit in their judgment Olam Azeh, nevertheless, there are kamadargas, he says, there are different ways in which they will actually receive befall the schar, the reward. It could be bezroah, it could be bechesed, it could be b'matnas chinon. There are many different ways, or shall we say, different hanhagos, all of which are presenting implementing his din in Olam Azeh. And there are different kinds of, you know, of zchuyos, of schar that he can receive in Olam Azeh. It could be bizrah, bechesed, bevat naschinam. It could be, you know, with a happy face, with a sad face. You know, everything is determined by the sefer and which sefer he's being sealed in and signed into, and what madregi has in the sefer itself. So when the judgment on a person is that he's a ben olam haba, that has relevance to the siyata d'shmaya in ruchnius that he's going to receive. Hashem is going to help him in all spiritual matters, and l'shomro mimichshol, perhaps to protect him from falling into damages, into pits. We're talking about figuratively into pits, and to give him strength to face all his challenges, his nisyonos. That's called raglei chasod of yishmar. Or it might be just the opposite, that because he's considered a ben, not olam haba, but the other place, therefore that's going to cause him michsholos, that's going to cause him difficulties. Now the language of Rabbi Aaron Kotli here is a little bit obscure, but I'm going to try to read it and explain it. He says, "Megalgul in tzchusa yidei zakeh v'chov yidei chova, imu b'sefer tzadikim is megalgul in tzchusa yodo v'chein lehepech." Why is it so significant then on Rosh Hashanah there'll be a psak din of whether he's a ben olam haba or the opposite, whether he's written in these sfarim or the opposite? Because there's a principle called megalgul in tzchus al yidei zakai. Once we've determined that he's a tzaddik, then if he's written in the sifrei tzaddikim, megalgul in tzchus al yodo, or the opposite in the case of sifrei rishonim. In other words, even though every person in every situation he has freedom of choice, but nevertheless, what are his options? What are his challenges? What are the efshariot on a spiritual level? And where's the hashgachas Hashem to help him and to guide him, to give him siyata d'shmaya? And the answer is, it depends on where he's being written as far as olam haba. If he's a ben olam haba, he can anticipate that Hashem will give him a great deal of siyata d'shmaya to help him and fortify him with the energies to overcome all his challenges, all his difficulties. If on the other hand he belongs to the sifrei rishonim, then he's not going to be zocha to such a great siyata d'shmaya in the world that he and the challenges that he faces in that world. Rav Dessler has a Talmud by the name of Chaim Friedland. He's not alive anymore. I knew him. He was the Mashkiach in Panovich, and he's famous for a work called Sifsei Chaim. And according to him, based on the words of the Ramchal in something called B'maimer HaChachma, he says ki hanikba ben hatzadikim hu hanichtav b'sefer Chaim v'nitche is nikba bein harishoyim hu hanichtav b'sefer hamesim. And basically his contention is that kvias mahuso aruchnis hu adin shal Rosh Hashanah al chai olam haba. The determination, the evaluation of his exact, precise essence on the spiritual ladder that goes up and down, that is the judgment that's being judged in heaven on Rosh Hashanah, regard to Olam Haba. So the Siyata D'Shmaya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant a person for the year to come, which is determined on Rosh Hashanah, is depending upon this din of Olam Haba, meaning if he's determined and classified in the judgment of Olam Haba as a Ben Olam Haba, then there'll be lots of Siyata D'Shmaya. And in Michtam Eliyahu, Rav Dessler quotes in the name of Rav Yisrael Salant that Gimel Sfarim Niftach Rosh Hashanah Kulam Le'inyan Aruchlius V'Siyata D'Shmaya B'Shvila. It means that according to Rav Yisrael, that judgment that takes place in Rosh Hashanah is going to determine the spiritual success or strength and aid and divine aid that he'll get in the spiritual realm and the spiritual challenges during the year to come. And Rav Dessler adds, "Kain pirshu v'tosvish shegeder din de Rosh Hashanah le'inyan olam haba." This is how we should understand Tosfos, who says that the din, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, is on Olam Haba. What it really means, Kavanasa l'inyan madrega ruchnis shitochen Olam Haba shelo. What's going to be judged and determined on Rosh Hashanah is the level of, on the spiritual ladder, the level he has reached, and therefore the tochen, the substance of his olam haba. Ubeemis he writes gama gashmi is habam ala adam mitzarek dusha hiba mipnei atzorech eleha leruchnius. Rav Dessler claims that even the gashmius that will be bestowed upon a person during the course of the year to come, that also is a result of Kedusha of sanctity, because he desperately, each and every one of us desperately needs the success in Gashmias in order to succeed in Ruchnias. And then he makes reference to the Rambam at the end of the ninth parak of Hilchas Tshuva. Now Reb Chaim Friedlander, the famous Mashgiach of Panovich, who authored the Sefer Sifsei Chaim, who's a Talmud of Rav Dessler, and he bases himself on the Ramchal Lutzato in the Maimar HaChochma, who writes, Hanikba Bein HaTzadikim, one who is determined to be amongst the Tzadikim, Hu HaNichtav B'Sefer HaChaim, he's going to be written in the Book of Life, Shekvius Mahuso Aruchnis, Rav Friedlander says, Hu HaDin B'Rosh Hashon Al Chai Olam Abba. And he gives an example of the Musak Ben Bias. He doesn't have a chiv to be in the house. The Ben Bias could be outside, but he's still considered a Ben Bias. Hu Eino Oreach. When he comes home, he's not a guest. He's a Ben Bias. He's part of the Anshei Bias. He's called a Ben Bias. And so too, Ezu Ben Olam Abba. But even in this world, he's considered a Ben Olam Abba. His very essence, his very personality is the one of a Ben Olam Abba, even though he's still very much in this world, Olam Azeh. He's already mushrash, he's already rooted in a spiritual world, an endless, infinite world of Olam Abba. And that's the din of Rosh Hashanah with regard to Olam Abba. That on Rosh Hashanah, his spiritual essence, his darga, is going to be determined. V'hainu ha'odom kosev sifro. U'mikvius mahuso aruchnis novea hadin al inyoni ol mazeh. Al hamikrim sheyarulo b'shana ba. Based on the judgment of Olam Abba, of spirituality and success and merit in the area of divine service, that's going to determine not only the essence of a person in Ruchnius and his Madrega in spirituality, but it's also going to determine the Gashmius too. Sha'odam Kosev Sifro. So what's going to befall him in the year to come is determined by his mahut haruchanit, by that judgment for Olam Abba. And Rav David Cohen, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron Shlita, in his book Biurei HaChachma, which is on the Chachma of the Ramchal, he writes that the correct way of understanding the Ramchal is, and here we quote, Shanikba bein atzadikim hu anichtav b'sefer chaim, v'anikba bein arishoyim hu anichtav b'sefer meisim. Ein ze rak klapi chay olam abba, el gam klapi olam azeh. Ki anikba bein atzadikim hu chay b'yetzem, shu mechubar l'makar chayim gam b'olam azeh. V'lachein yizke l'chay nitzachim b'olam abba. V'anikva bein arishoyim u'meis bi'etzem shegam chayav b'olam v'chay b'olam azeh hu menutak mimakar chayim v'lachein ein chayav ela l'fi shah u'misaso hi misas olam. Anyway, it becomes very clear from all the above, and there are many nuances and depths here, that the judgments of Rosh Hashanah, even with regard to Olam Abba, have an impact, a very clear and profound impact on Inyone Olam Hazeh. And that is true, especially according to Tosfos, but even to some lesser extent, according to the Ramban. All right, we'll stop here.